Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, in September 2016, a young couple brought their 21-month-old daughter to Crumlin Children's Hospital after she suffered an injury to her genital area. They told hospital staff they thought their daughter had suffered that injury when she fell onto a toy. But hospital staff rejected that explanation. They felt it was a non-accidental injury, which appeared to be consistent with female genital mutilation. Well, after years of fighting to clear their names, the couple at the centre of Ireland's first and only FGM prosecution will have their bid for a certificate of miscarriage of justice heard next January. But how did their case reach this point? Well, the story is currently being told in an RTE podcast series called First Conviction, which has been made by Tim Desmond, a producer with a documentary on One, and Pamela Frere, who's a reporter with RTE Investigates. And the story, by the way, is coming to RTE Television next month too. But Tim and Pamela are with me now, and you're both very welcome. Thank you for coming in. So now, the story started nearly a decade ago, didn't it, Pamela? Will you take me back to the very beginning and just tell us about it?
Okay, we'll go back to the beginning. So Claire, this was a typical morning for this family. They're a family of a couple, a married couple. They have two little girls, a newborn and a 21-month-old. They're in their small little house in South Dublin. And again, they're in the middle of night feeds, the sleepless routine. A lot of your listeners will probably be familiar with that. So when they wake up in the morning, mum notices that the little girl, the 21-month-old, has a dirty nappy. So she says, I'm going to change her. And we've called the little girl Aisha. So we've changed the names of everybody in this just to protect their identities. And we've used actors to voice their words. So mum is changing little Aisha. She's cleaning up afterwards. Little Aisha runs down the corridor. She has no nappy on and she sees dad in the kitchen. He's making breakfast. So he has a little light up ball that also makes some sounds. And this frightens her. So she backs out of the kitchen. He goes back to what he's doing, making the eggs. And he hears a scream and he turns around, goes over to her, picks her up to comfort her. And mum comes out hearing the scream and she sees that there are some drops of blood on his trousers. They check her. They see that the blood is coming from her genital area generally, but they don't know what's happening. So they pack everybody up into the car and they go to Crumlin Children's Hospital. So bringing their child to hospital that day, that's changed their lives. And they've been dealing with the fallout of that from that day to this day.
OK, well, look, we're going to hear a clip now because the podcast series is narrated by the Oscar-nominated Ruth Naga. We have a clip here. This is from episode one of the podcast as father and daughter have just arrived at Crumlin Children's Hospital.
CCTV shows Aisha having fun, playing peekaboo, dancing around at times. She likes dancing.
And my daughter was walking from chair to chair. We didn't get any excessive attention, nothing. A woman was sitting in the corner. We had a chat, and my daughter was talking to her.
Saeed and his daughter are taken to an examination room.
A nurse examined her first, then a doctor. She told me she doesn't have anything wrong with her. You can bring her back home. But I said, no, I am not sure. I insisted to her that maybe it's something inside.
And you're listening to the voice of an actor there, we should say. So, Tim, they're told then that they can go home. And what happened then?
Well, he insists on his daughter being further checked out. And that leads to a surgeon coming in, carrying out a procedure. And it's during this time the flag is raised for a non-accidental injury. And what that means is the story that he had told in the hospital of how his daughter got the injury doesn't match, according to the medical people in the hospital, the injury itself. And that then begins a whole protocol where the social worker in the hospital is brought in, Tussler brought in, that leads to the guards being brought in. And there's this suspicion raised that this is potentially a case of FGM. The guards begin a criminal investigation. So from the couple's point of view, their daughter is in hospital. She's kept in hospital over the weekend. It changes from being a kind of a medical emergency into this criminal case being taken against them. That takes almost 3 years to come to court. And during that time, they're signing on for bail, they're questioned by the guards, their rights are explained to them about how long they can be detained for, all the kind of stuff that we're used to from people who are, you know, detained under those circumstances. But for them, it's their English is really, really poor. They effectively have no English and they really don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a kind of a nightmare for them.
And they've maintained their innocence throughout all of this.
They've maintained their innocence from the very start in a very dignified way because, you know, we've read a lot of what they've said officially. They're very calm about it. They're very dignified about it. But the system becomes this kind of juggernaut that takes control of their lives. You know, their passports are taken from them. Tusla are checking up on them on an almost weekly basis at the beginning. And the strange thing is very quickly, Tusla realises and the social workers in Tusla realise that they're a very loving couple. Their children are very well cared for. And this becomes part of the narrative as well. It's just this non-accidental injury sparks off this much
bigger chain of events.
Yeah.
And Pamela, the upcoming court case then that I mentioned there at the beginning, that's going to be a landmark case, I understand.
Yes, yes, this is, yes it is. The legislation came into effect in 2012 and this is the first and last prosecution under that act, the Act for of FGM. And this story is actually a story of many firsts. This was a landmark trial, the first conviction of its kind. This couple were found unanimously guilty by a jury and they were sentenced to 5.5 years imprisonment. That's for Saeed, for the dad, and Halawa to 4 years and 9 months. And we believe that they are the first married couple with children to be simultaneously imprisoned like this. And the DPP felt that these sentences weren't enough. They actually submitted an undue leniency appeal. And then in prison, the couple mounted their own appeal. So, and this appeal would be another landmark. It was the first time that an appeal was successful due to translation issues that arose during the trial. But despite the conviction being overturned by the state, they still pursued them. A second trial date was set, and this time the jury were undecided. And again, the state sought a third trial date. In 2024, the DPP then entered a nulli prosequi. So what this means is that they are no longer pursuing this prosecution. But this is not the same as an acquittal for the couple. Therefore, they're effectively left in a legal limbo. And again, as Tim said, throughout these years, the couple always maintained their innocence.
OK, we can hear another clip now. Let's listen to this.
This trial is going to be a big one for two reasons. It's the first of its kind in Ireland, and the defendants are pleading not guilty. Obviously enough, everyone is nervous, including Halawa.
I had never been before a jury or a court or anything. I was asking my solicitor, what's going to happen? And he was saying, we need to have a jury to listen to your case. And actually, I thought maybe the jury are going to see. There's no evidence. There's no nothing.
After a few days of pre-trial motions, on Tuesday, November 19th, 2019, a jury of 8 men and 4 women are sworn in.
So that then will take us into what is expected to happen in January when we have this application for a miscarriage of justice. Is that where it is legally now?
Yes. I mean, after that trial, they were brought straight to prison. They weren't even remanded on bail until sentencing. And for them, being black in prison, being Muslim in prison, and being in prison accused of having committed a crime against your own child, made it a really horrendous experience. And in the podcast, we go through their experience in a very kind of calm and reasoned way. The story gets a little bit complicated, but I think we've managed to parse it out in a way that people will understand that this, you know, the legal question of whether it happened or not has been resolved to all intents and purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Their innocence has been vindicated to all intents and purposes. And what's left now is this application for a miscarriage of justice certificate.
And you, Tim, you've spent most time with this couple, haven't you?
I have, Claire. I've spent a lot of time with them. Yeah, I'm. You know, I've become fond of them. I've really noticed how dignified they were at all times, how polite they are, how loving they are towards their children. And in spite of everything they've gone through, you know, they've accepted this has happened. They want to stay in Ireland. They want to get on with their lives. They are getting on with their lives. They're very hardworking. And they're just remarkably dignified, considering, you know, what they've gone through, particularly in the prison system in Ireland.
Okay, now, I just want to mention the soundtrack as well, because it is beautiful, and I think people got a flavour of it there in the clips that we played. It's composed by Mel Mercier, performed by the RTÉ Concert Orchestra with soloists, and it really adds to the entire story. But Pam, you're saying they're in legal limbo, but just explain to us again where the hope is for them now, where this goes.
Well, Claire, last Friday I was in Court 16 in the CCJ, that's the Criminal Courts of Justice in Dublin, and the president of the Court of Appeal, that's Miss Justice Caroline Costello, she actually gave the couple their date for a hearing for the application of their certificates of miscarriage of justice. So that gives them some hope in that regard. And the couple weren't there. I know from speaking to them in previous occasions, because there's been a lot of trips to court, they feel really ground down by the whole process. They feel disappointed. So they weren't there, but this at least gives them some hope, because, as we've been saying, this has been going on for nearly a decade.
Okay. Now, there were two episodes out yesterday when I was listening. The third one is out as of this morning, is it? So it's available there for people to listen to. And then it's one a week. Is that how it will work?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And the TV documentary goes out on the 12th of November, and that takes a look at the big issues for Ireland as a state, for the criminal justice system in Ireland, for issues like translation in the court system. It's something that we've been, you know, running to catch up with as a state for quite a while now. So all of that is covered in the TV documentary.
Okay, well, listen, thank you, Pam, and thank you, Tim,
thank you
very much indeed. And I'm going to remind you now where you can find First Conviction. This is the 6-part podcast series that we've just been talking about. It's on the RTÉ Radio 1 app initially, but then, as Tim said, the TV documentary will be broadcast on the 12th of November on RTÉ 1 and the RTÉ Player, and that's brought to you from the RTÉ Documentary on 1 and RTÉ Investigates. Thank you both. We will take a break.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.